Well, maybe as you can tell from my accent, I'm not from around here. I originally come from Northern Ireland, and there I was raised in the church where our family attended. Every Sunday, they used the old traditional version of Scripture, the King James version of the Bible. It's often referred to as the one with all the these and the thous in it. You know that version? Well, that's what I was brought up on. I remember often frowning, even silently sneering at how that version of the Bible translates verses 14. We heard it earlier this evening. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This was what the angels announced at the birth of Jesus Christ, that as a result of Christ being born in Bethlehem that very night, then in heaven God would be glorified, and on earth there would be peace and goodwill towards all of us. And as a rebellious teenager, I remember sat in church never understanding how that verse could possibly be true. Growing up in Northern Ireland with all its history of the Troubles, how could it be true when evidently, when obviously, there has been so much trouble on earth since that first Christmas night? Peace on earth? Blah. Surely not. Even if we just focus our assessment of what is recent history and how during World War I, between the years 1912, 1917, Europe was ravaged by the horror of what was called then the worst of wars. The writer H.G. Wells referred to it as the war to end all wars, except that only a few decades later it had to be referred to as World War I, because in 1939 World War II had started. And that war turned out to be an even bloodier conflict. And from World War II ending through to 1945, there has been since then 285 distinct armed conflicts in the world. And still, there is trouble, even in the very area of the world where Christ was born. There is trouble. There is war. So, can you understand my teenage cynicism? That if the birth of Jesus Christ was supposed to bring peace, then when exactly are we going to get it? When exactly is it supposed to start? Maybe that's how you view the Christmas story. Maybe for you it's hard to see the real meaning of Christmas when that Christmas promise of peace on earth seems so empty in a world that is so riddled with trouble and with war. So let's consider what those angels said. What exactly did they mean? Because they did seem excited, didn't they? One minute it's just a single angel telling the shepherds this great news of great joy that will be for all the people of the earth. And then suddenly there they are, the heavenly host, and they're filling the sky and they're praising God. It doesn't seem as though there ought to be any cynicism. It doesn't feel that way that there ought to be, but that the birth of this child really is worth celebrating, and that all the people of the world should have great joy. So, what do they mean by peace on earth? I want to suggest three aspects to peace on earth. The first aspect is peace with God. Peace with God. You see, you can't detach this promised peace from this promised child that had just been born in Bethlehem. For this person that was born to Mary was who God had promised he'd send. God said that he would send someone to bring reconciliation between himself and us. For this child is, as the angels told the shepherds, that the reason for the good news of great joy is because, verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The child Jesus is the Savior who was sent to save us, the one who came to us to rescue us from our sin. It's that word, you see, sin, that three-letter word. It's always there. It's our sin. It's our resistance towards God. It's our preference to live our lives our own way. Even if you look at the word sin, what is the middle letter? It's I. Me, 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 me. I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to live the way God wants me to live. I want to do it my way. Didn't somebody sing that? It's all about me and what I want and what I want to do with my life and how I want to live my life. And that's the problem, you see. It's that rejection of God. It's that desire to go our own way that separates us from God now in this life. And if it isn't sorted, then it will condemn us to an eternity without God, an eternity we know as hell. And yet, the good news is that for such sinners like us, Christ came into our world to bring us back to God again. He came to us as one of us to reconcile us to the God that we have so deeply offended. And he does that through taking the punishment that we deserve for our sin. Jesus came into the world to save us. And to do that, he first of all died for us. He paid the penalty for our sin. He faced the punishment that you and I deserve, so that now, whoever will believe on his name, whoever will trust in him, not in themselves, for we instinctively want to do that. We instinctively want to rescue ourselves. We want to save ourselves somehow by maybe coming to a candlelight carol service on a Sunday night. Surely God will be pleased with that. Well, I wonder how many candlelight carol services have you got to attend in your life to get right with God? I don't know. You see, the Bible tells us it's not our good works that save us. It's through faith in Jesus Christ, his grace alone, that saves us. So this is the promise. This is the peace that comes to us this Christmas season. The Bible tells us that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can have peace with God. Through trusting in him, through depending upon him, then the age-old problem of sin is finally and forever sorted out. So yes, there can be peace on earth for those who trust in Jesus Christ. The second aspect of peace on earth is that we can have peace with each other. Because once we have been reconciled to God, that primary reconciliation then begins the process of reconciling us to one another. You see, believers are told that we are to forgive one another just as God has forgiven us. We're to love one another just as Christ has loved us. Christ loved us and gave his life for us, and that's how we are to love one another, a sacrificial sort of love. For sure, if we only ever focused on what separated us, then, well, you know what Christmas dinners can be like when all you focus on what could separate you. The family fallouts, the disagreements, the old hurts and harms come back up again. Oh dear. There are plenty of reasons, aren't there, just to have Christmas on our own this year. For sure, there are many ways, many reasons for just not bothering with one another and just again going our own road through life. But you see, the Church of Jesus Christ is a family. As Nigel said, through faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God. The family of God is what God has produced for himself. We're his workmanship, and in bringing us together, men and women, boys and girls, but bringing us together from different backgrounds with different personalities, but bringing us together, uniting this mixed bunch around Jesus, around the person of Jesus Christ. We come together as one people. One family, one body of believers. You see, that is the power of the gospel. You know, at the end of the 3rd century AD, the death of a Christian changed the world at that time. There was a man called Telemachus. He was a Christian, a quiet man apparently. He lived in the east, but he visited Rome. And when he came to Rome, he was appalled by what he saw. There in Rome, in the Colosseum, were, of course, the gladiatorial games. Telemachus couldn't bear the thought of seeing fellow human beings fighting one another, purely for the thrill of a watching crowd. So what did he do? Compelled by the gospel of Jesus Christ, what did he do? Well, he got into the stadium. He jumped over the arena wall. And he tried to stop the gladiators fighting one another. The crowd didn't agree with him. They were outraged at what this man was trying to do, stopping their entertainment, and so they stoned him to death. But there was one man there who was watching, and heart was moved, Emperor Herodias. And by watching Telemachus's love for his fellow human being, Emperor Herodias ended all gladiatorial games permanently. Apparently the last game was on the 1st of January, 404 AD. You see, this is the power of the gospel to change lives. It unites enemies, as Paul describes to the Christians at the church at Ephesus. Jesus, he says, is our peace. Jesus ends the hostility between, for example, Jew and Muslim. He ends the hostility through a common faith in Jesus Christ. He ends the hostility between those who are Jews and those who are Gentiles, but he brings us together through Christ. So just as Telemachus brought peace to warriors through his death, So Jesus, through his birth, through his death, through his resurrection, he makes peace and reconciliation possible for all who will believe on him. So yes, there can be peace on earth for those who believe on Jesus. And then thirdly and finally, the promised peace on earth is a peace not yet realized. You see, our peace was never meant to have all the trouble it has. Our world, with all its wars, its injustices, its broken relationships, its pandemics, its diseases, its death, was never meant to include these things, for what God created in the beginning was very good. It was beautiful. It was perfect. But when sin entered into God's creation, so did death. And since we all sin, then troubles and ultimately death has come to every one of us. But in this world of war, in this world of trouble and death, we have this good news of great joy. We have this gospel hope that Jesus brings us, that one day when he comes again, he will bring with him a new beginning. When there will be no more broken relationships, there will be no troubles, there will be no more death, but only peace and love and everlasting life, a time still to come when death will be no more and Jesus, our Savior, will wipe every tear away from our eye. For then, we're told, this old age of trouble and difficulty and suffering will be over and gone forevermore. So that's the not yet part of the promised peace on earth still to come. But just as certain as Jesus came the first time, then we're convinced that he'll come again. That's our hope this evening. That through Jesus, the war to end all wars has already been fought. It was launched at Christmas when Christ was born. It was won on Good Friday when Christ was crucified for sin. And since Easter morning, it's been proclaimed throughout the world that Jesus Christ is able to bring peace on earth. For those who look to him, for those who put their trust in him, for those who acknowledge their need of a Savior, who turn from their sin to Jesus, Jesus brings peace on earth. May God help every one of us here tonight, every household represented here tonight, to know that peace this Christmas season. If you want to know anything more about this, do come and see me at the end. I'll be happy to sit and talk to you about this. On the table as you leave at the back, there are some booklets and leaflets, which you'll find helpful to explain these things further to you. But there is peace on earth available. It's offered freely to all who take it from the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your Son to us to rescue us from our sin and to bring peace to our troubled world. Lord, we pray that every one of us would find our way to Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit would do as we heard he did in Nigel's life and give new birth, that we might be born again, that we might know Jesus as our Savior. We ask for this in Christ's name. Amen.